The universe doesn't care about you. This stark realization confronted physicist Sean Carroll during a near-death experience on the 405 freeway when an 18-wheeler's headlights illuminated not just the road ahead, but a profound existential question. How do we reconcile our brief, seemingly significant lives with the vast, indifferent cosmos? In The Big Picture, Carroll tackles this tension head-on, offering a worldview called poetic naturalism, a perspective that embraces scientific understanding while acknowledging the value of multiple ways to describe reality. Unlike many scientists who shy away from philosophical implications, Carroll boldly examines how modern physics reshapes our understanding of consciousness, free will, and purpose, showing that meaning isn't discovered in the stars, but created through human experience. What keeps the planets in motion? For centuries, thinkers believed objects needed continuous pushing to move, leading Aristotle to propose an unmoved mover, God, to keep the cosmos going. But a revolutionary insight changed everything. Objects in motion stay in motion. This principle, developed through contributions from Islamic scholars to Galileo and Newton, fundamentally transformed our understanding of reality. This shift represents a profound ontological change. Causes are no longer central to our fundamental understanding of the universe. The cosmos doesn't need a divine push, it simply follows impersonal laws. We've moved from rich ontologies with many fundamental categories, humans, animals, plants, to sparse ones, where everything consists of the same fundamental particles following identical physical laws. Yet this doesn't mean concepts like person or ship are mere illusions. Poetic naturalism embraces multiple ways of talking about reality, recognizing that higher-level concepts remain meaningfully real when they're useful for describing patterns in the world, even if they're not fundamental. The ship of Theseus may puzzle philosophers, but sailors know exactly what they're boarding. Look up at the night sky. Those tiny points of light reveal an incomprehensible vastness. Over 100 billion stars in our Milky Way galaxy and at least 100 billion galaxies in observable space. We occupy no special position in this cosmos, which appears remarkably uniform at the largest scales, with no center, edges, or preferred locations. Our universe has expanded from a hot, dense state for 14 billion years. Since discovering in 1998 that this expansion is accelerating, cosmologists predict our universe will expand forever, driven by vacuum energy. The future is stark. Stars will burn out within 10 to 15 years, galaxies will drift apart, and black holes will evaporate. After 10 to 100 years, our observable universe will become nothing but cold, empty space. When questioning why the universe's features are as they are, why space has three dimensions or particles have specific masses, we must accept that some questions may have no answers. Unlike everyday queries that exist within a context, reality's fundamental fabric isn't embedded in any larger framework. Some features may simply be brute facts. The universe just is what it is. Why can we remember the past but not the future? Why do eggs break but never unbreak? These everyday experiences reflect a profound asymmetry in time, tracing back to the Big Bang. The directionality of time isn't intrinsic, but exists because we live in the aftermath of an extraordinarily special event. Physical laws are fundamentally reversible. For every forward evolution, there's an allowed backward one. Yet coffee and cream mix but don't spontaneously separate. These processes could theoretically reverse, but are extraordinarily unlikely because high entropy states vastly outnumber low entropy ones. Our universe began in an unusually low entropy state, the past hypothesis. This initial condition creates time's arrow, allowing us to distinguish past from future, and giving rise to causality. When we see a broken egg, we infer it was once whole, because entropy increases over time. memory, records, and cause-effect relationships all emerge from this fundamental asymmetry, rooted in our universe's special initial conditions. What happens when we die? If we consist solely of physical particles without an immaterial soul, then you is just the arrangement of atoms comprising your body and brain. When you die, there's nowhere for that information to go, no mechanism exists to preserve it. Life may seem to have some mysterious force that vanishes at death, but it's better understood as a process rather than a substance. Like a candle flame, life isn't stuff, but rather things happening. When a candle is extinguished or life ends, the process simply stops. Princess Elizabeth of Bohemia challenged Descartes, "If mind and body are separate substances, how do they interact?" The core theory of physics precisely predicts matter's behavior without vague elements. Anyone claiming a non-physical component to human beings must explain how it interacts with our physical particles, effectively arguing the core theory is incomplete. The evidence suggests no such interaction exists. How could mindless quantum fields produce something as organized as human beings? The answer lies in entropy and emergence. While entropy increases over time, complexity often emerges not at the extremes, but in the middle ground. Consider cream mixing into coffee. Both the initial separated state, low entropy, and final mixed state, high entropy, are simple. The most intricate patterns appear during the intermediate stages as cream creates swirling structures. The universe follows this pattern, starting simple near the Big Bang, becoming complex with planets and galaxies in our current middle stage, and eventually returning to simplicity in the far future. Life depends on three energy from the sun, which provides Earth with low entropy visible light. Living organisms use this energy and return it in degraded form. Earth radiates about 20 low-energy infrared photons for each visible photon received, maintaining the same total energy but increasing entropy. Life thrives in this energy gradient, using the flow from low to high entropy to maintain complex structures. When Carl Sagan died, his wife Anne Dryan responded to questions about deathbed conversion by explaining they never pretended death was anything but final, which made their time together more precious. They saw themselves as beneficiaries of chance to have found each other in the vastness of space and time. In an indifferent cosmos, meaning exists only through people. Something matters only if it matters to someone. While there's no objective morality, moral progress occurs through honest self-examination and listening to others, including ancient wisdom, without being bound by outdated rules. Nature offers no moral guidance, though we're part of it. We must create meaning ourselves. Our capacity for thought gives us tremendous influence over our world. We can transform bodies, alter our planet, and potentially spread life through the galaxy. This power demands responsible choices. In a purposeless universe, we become meaning's authors. Our mortality makes each moment precious because it's fleeting. We're not mere observers, but active participants, creating purpose through our choices, connections, and commitments. Though the cosmos may be indifferent, we can care deeply about each other and our shared journey.